This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Renee Montaigne. Since the civil wars in Central America ended, the biggest security threat to the region has become drug trafficking. U.S. and local security officials say that by air and sea, Colombians are using Central America as their primary corridor to move cocaine to Mexico. From there, it's smuggled into the United States. On the Pacific coast of Guatemala, drug traffickers and the Guatemalan Navy battle for control of the seas, and fishermen are making surprising catches. NPR's John Burnett has the second of three reports.
It's early September. The Guatemalan Navy is about to launch a five-day drug interdiction mission in the seas off the Pacific coast that are heavily used by drug and human traffickers. It's to be called Pelican 2. Inside the operations center at the Puerto Quetzal Naval Base, Captain Otto Wantland points to a large wall map of the coast.
Los mares de Guatemala son mares en donde muchos...
Lots of boats use Guatemalan waters to transport illegal aliens and drugs to the north. This is an operation to intercept those boats. We will go out 50 miles from the coast, the Navy, working in concert with the Air Force.
The traffickers' preferred ocean transport is the go-fast boat. These slender fiberglass crafts have open hulls that can carry 2 tons of cocaine and extra fuel. With 3 200-horsepower outboards bolted to the stern, they can hit speeds of 60 miles per hour, faster than anything the Guatemalan Navy has. But first, the spotter plane has to find them. Colonel Mark Wilkins, head of the U.S. military group in Guatemala, which is supporting Pelican 2, stands on the Navy pier the morning of the operation.
As you can see, the boat we're looking at right now is painted sort of a dull gray, a color favored by the traffickers. Once you get up in the air, looking down on them, they're almost indistinguishable. The only way you'll ever spot these is the considerable rooster tail these high-powered outboard engines leave up to 15 or 20 feet high as they're transiting.
U.S. counter-narcotics and immigration officers say the movement of drugs and aliens along the coast is nearly constant. Scores of seaside towns that once exported bananas and palm oil have been drawn into the lucrative business of contraband. Puerto San Jose is located directly next to the naval base, but that doesn't seem to bother any of the drug runners in town. A prosperous fishing and commercial center, Puerto San Jose has grown wealthier with the arrival of the fast boats. The game is to get shipments of Colombian cocaine from sea to shore, where it's transported to Mexico. One way they do that is for a fast boat or a drug plane to drop waterproofed 25-kilo packages into the sea at a predetermined GPS coordinate 10 to 50 miles offshore. A buyer in Puerto San Jose then notifies a group of fishermen who jump in their shark boats and speed out to retrieve the floating bundles. They can sell the packages to the buyer for $3,000 to $5,000 per kilo as a transportation fee. The buyer also pays the Colombians. The locals have coined a name for it.
The lottery of the sea, as the fishermen call it, raises a person up. As we say, it allows you to pull yourself out of the mud.
Miguel is one of the fishermen who has prospered from the lottery. He stands in his shark boat in the Chiquimulia Canal, the silver cap on his left canine tooth gleaming when he grins. The young men in his crew sport gold chains and expensive sneakers. Miguel is a bit defensive about his sideline.
Here, if you find it, you buy a house, a car, a boat, or a taxi in town to make a little extra money. But we don't consume it.
The lottery of the sea has its own lore among the fishermen of Puerto San Jose. They know a parcel could be near when they spot a dead sea turtle floating in the water that might have nibbled on some 100% pure coke. And sometimes if they see a seagull appearing to be standing in the waves, it could be resting on a package.
When you're out fishing, you have to be attentive. You can't be asleep. You have to stand and look for it.
A longtime member of the community, whom we'll call Chewy, and who has close contacts in the drug world, agreed to educate an out-of-towner in the finer points of the lottery.
Try to be more less obvious with the microphone, because...
He asked that he be recorded discreetly, his name be changed, and his voice altered. Chewy drives slowly along Miramar Beach, a broad expanse of black volcanic sand colonized by seafood shacks.
Here you are, you know, on the left side?
This is an unloading spot. This is where the boats coming to the beach, and we're going to shut the window a little bit so nobody sees us. they collect the trash. They come over here, a crew of people come and collect the trash, and they put a bonfire.
The bonfire is a sentinel that this is where you unload the drugs.
Right. That's the beginning. It begins like 6:30 in the night, and everybody's involved. Everybody knew what's going to happen, so the police decide to go somewhere else, and nobody cares.
Chuy pulls onto the pavement and heads into town. He maintains that not only are the local police paid off to provide protection, but the traffickers are frequently tipped off to Navy operations.
Whenever the Navy is going to go, there's a person who is in the crew, who is a relative of somebody, and they send the information out.
A U.S. counter-narcotics agent who works in Central America says interdiction operations are easily compromised, usually within the first few hours, though it's just as likely that a spotter tells the traffickers when he sees Navy patrol boats moving out of port. The sudden affluence that cocaine money has brought to Puerto San Jose is visible in small but significant ways. A pretty girl zips past on a new red scooter. There's a new Mitsubishi truck parked at the fish market, a new cement house going up on the corner, all bought with cocaine profits. Even the churches are benefiting. At the end of Embarcadero Street stands the Church of God Peace in the Storm Ministries. It's a large, well-maintained cinder block building with an impressive sound system and space for 300 worshipers. Pastor Alberto Ramirez says he knows there's been drug money in his collection plate, but he will not reject it.
This is something that has touched the lives of many people. They have been struggling for so long, and suddenly they find this type of material. Like any other person who finds something of value, they're not going to just leave it there. They must decide how to use it. Some get drunk, some chase women, but others use it for good. I counsel them that sometimes you have to take something bad and turn it into something good.
It's 8 o'clock assembly at the Puerto Quetzal Naval Base. Sailors in blue shirts and jeans salute the flag, blow their bosun's pipes, and start another day in the service of the Guatemalan Navy. Operation Pelican 2 has ended. Unfortunately, after 5 days at sea, the combined forces of the Navy and Air Force did not catch a single drug or human smuggling boat. A Guatemalan Navy official flatly denies the allegation that Navy personnel may have sold out the operation. He says these operations are strictly controlled, and there are certain individuals who seek to impugn the prestige of the Navy. It was, he assures, bad weather that kept the traffickers off the sea. John Burnett, NPR News.
Photos of anti-drug operations off Guatemala's Pacific coast and part one of this series are at NPR.org. Our series, The Cocaine Republics, concludes tomorrow on Morning Edition with a look at how drug smuggling is changing traditional culture along Nicaragua's Atlantic coast.